Well, I'm happy to say I'm here in the studio, Mike Milevsky, and we're about to begin another interview of a candidate on the ballot in November. I have on the phone Mabel Wimmer. Hi there, Mabel.
Hi, how are you today?
Pretty good. And we're going to do the same kind of thing we've been doing with each candidate, and that means that I'll do a little intro and explain how we came to have these questions, and then we'll run through them. The general theme that we've been using is how do you work with others? And as background, what we've found by long observation that nationally and even here in Alaska, there seems to have developed a more than usual political polarization that's resulted in gridlock and decisions made by use of power that isn't always backed by a majority of citizens. So for the first question, taking that theme, how do you view the present quality of state government, and what is your approach to working with others of different perspectives to ensure quality government?
The first part of that question?
How do you view the present quality of state government?
The present quality of state government? I think we're moving away from, you know, the Alaska way of doing things, where you know what to expect. And you know that people are fighting for Alaska. And there's, to me, it feels like there's too many outside influences. And too many people saying, well, we should do it this way. And I think it's fear-driven. It'd be nice to pull things backward in time where Alaskans cared about each other and could talk to each other. Pre-pipeline days. I've been here a while.
Oh, okay.
Where people cared about each other and, you know, talked to each other, and we're not talking to each other anymore, which leads into the next part of the question. You know, it's not about what you believe in or, you know, which church you go to, and my religion's better than yours, or my beliefs or philosophies are the only way. And just getting off the politics of the top. Of really conservative, constitutional, Democrat, Republican, and skipping away from our loyalties to party policies and just sitting down and being able to say, you know, this is our state. This is our people. But it used to be we were proud to be Alaskans. We were proud to say, I'm from Alaska, which always meant independence, hard work, being creative to get the job done, and going underneath all the party politics and going to the ground level of, we need to get this job done. This isn't about this. This is about Alaska.
Okay, thank you. Second question, how would you describe ethics in government and the money often connected to the issue? And what would you specifically do to ensure a good ethical atmosphere?
Well, first off, I think that it's going to be a hard task. I know that in my campaign, I have a zero waste lodge. Like everybody knows, we recycle, and that's our thing. And so when I was asked to run, I thought, how can I incorporate that into how I run for office? Because when you look at it, it's great to have an endorsement. It's great to be backed by a bunch of people. And have them support you as a candidate. On the other hand, we have millions of dollars being spent on campaigns. There's a lot of commercials. And it just feels unethical to me. And I think that money follows you into your office. And it's not like this is a thing that's been going on forever. I think it's fairly new, 10, 15 years, that millions of dollars are spent on campaigns. And I think we have to start at the basic place, and that's looking at our constituents and saying, please don't vote for me because I have so many signs on the road, or I have so many ads on the radio, or this person backed me, or this group backs me. Look at me instead as a candidate who looks at their job description that clearly says, I represent the people of my district. These are the issues in my district. And we need to come together to make that happen. And back to voter responsibility, I think that a lot of the stuff that happens with money in candidacies and later on when you're in office are causing a lot of apathy. And the polls, and it's just like, well, so-and-so's voting, so-and-so's winning, I'll vote for him. Or, you know, and I think a lot of these things sway voters, when voters should really look into their heart and decide which person do I feel will best do this job and best represent me. Does that make sense to you?
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
So moving on to the third question, what are the most serious environmental problems you see needing to be addressed, and what do you see as a state role in finding a solution to those problems?
I think the biggest environmental problems that we're seeing, I think it goes right back to the individual. It's wastefulness, not recycling at least as much as you can, not reusing things, not reducing our waste. And, you know, because I have sat on a few boards and have worked with people, and a lot of what goes on is, you know, all this waste has to be shipped out of villages, backhauled to different places. And we're talking a lot of this is plastics. I think it's our personal waste. I think it's that Alaska, basically in industry, it revolves around, you know, the market. It's like, oh, but the price of coal is up. Let's move forward and do coal. Oh, the price of oil is up. Let's go and look for more oil somewhere. And that oil doesn't stay in Alaska. A lot of it goes elsewhere. The coal doesn't stay in Alaska. It goes elsewhere. And we're being forgotten, and we're people that depend on our environment. We hunt, we fish, and that is a big threat to us. That whether there's another mine or a big mine or something, that's a precarious situation. That's a threat to us and our way of life.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Moving on to question number four. The state of Alaska has chosen to not participate in an expansion of Medicaid as offered by the federal government. What is your understanding of government's role to make sure every Alaskan has access to health care along with education about healthier living and early treatment?
I think we need the Medicaid expansion. I think the arguments that I've heard is that, you know, if we accept that, it puts a burden on the state financially, and that's not exactly true. Another argument that I've heard is that once we start taking money from the federal government, well, it's always there, and we'll have to continue to be, you know, sucking on that teat. And that's not exactly true. I mean, Medicaid expansion helps people be able to apply for the Affordable Care Act. It will lower rates. And let's go on to let's go on to early screenings and health care. We need those things. We need the funding, because if we do not fund health care, we'll have bigger bills to pay, because the sicker you get, the bigger the bill is. Another thing that we have to look at it in healthcare is good nutrition, producing our own food, supporting people who produce food for us by shopping. And because when you look at plants, if they're really healthy and you're organic gardening, a healthy plant is more resistant to disease. And that should always be a part of our healthcare plan.
Okay. Well, thank you. Last question. Many observers suggest that the next few years will see a decline in revenue that will put increasing pressure on the state's budgets, especially the funding of education, as well as basic services such as transportation infrastructure and public safety. Mm-hmm. How do you see the legislature contributing to solutions for matching funding and needs?
I see us not doing projects that put a strain on our budget. I think that a lot of our, we budget these things out, you know, and we budget in roads and schools and these types of things. And then these other things come on the agenda, like bridges and roads to Juneau, and then the studies that go into those things, and then eventually a lot of them don't happen. And this is eating up our budget, and the legislature really has to take a very stern and strong look at that and put our foot down and say, we're not doing another study unless we know that this is going to come to fruition and be of benefit.
Okay. This is the opportunity for you to speak about anything that we haven't covered to this point.
Okay. Well, there's lots of issues.
Oh, sure.
Lots, especially for our district. One of our issues is the high cost of energy here, and the fact that, you know, we've lost over a third of our people because they can't afford to heat their homes and pay our electric bills. You know, the only thing that we can do for that, you know, I've lived here quite a while, and I've seen the progress of the Allison Lake project, which is, you know, it's water, it freezes, and then we have to go to cogen, and then we move on to diesel. And it might give us a little bit of relief. Bringing in, trucking in gas and changing over the system is only going to cost us more. It's very unrealistic. What we can do is maybe help people with weatherization programs, help people find solutions like, let's do LED lights in our houses. Because we're not talking about a little bit of cost here when it comes to your electric bill. I've seen my electric bill in the winter go from $600 to $3,000 a month. And it's just the constant, wow, I need to replace that refrigeration unit because it's costing me this amount a month. Because you can get those little things at the electric company.
Right.
You know? And
yep.
You can figure out what things cost. We just put in LED lights. Our electric bill drops $200 a month. It's helping people in our area find ways to cut those costs. It's going to have to be this way. Everybody talks about this bullet line that's going through. Well, a bullet line is a bullet line. It means it's going to bullet its way down to the harbor, get on a boat, and it's going to sail its way out of here. It says, well, we could do this and we could do that, and I put it in the minutes that we'll have a substation here and we'll make propane. And, you know, they don't call it a bullet line for nothing. I think that politicians talk from their rear end quite a bit. people are smart. They know what this is. And I know that the OTNAs are working on a place down here to extract gas from the ground. It's just right down here in Solsona. That's got a long way to go. But once it does, yeah, maybe they can get things going. And I know that they've run into some salt and some water, and, you know, there's a lot of issues there, and there's a lot of cost for that. And there's a lot of cost of building a line and finding how much there's gas there. But it's just a long process down the line. And I know we've been waiting for 10 years for the Allison Lake project, which isn't quite online yet. And you really have to think on your own. We're Alaskans. You have to think on your own and decide, how can I stay in this beautiful place that I love? You know?
Yep.
A lot of us in our district, which is the size of Indiana, are fortunate enough to live here. And but on that angle, you have to look at, how can I stay here? And that would be finding cheaper energy resources, like maybe moving to solar or wind privately.
Okay. Well, Mabel Wimmer, I'm happy to have had this opportunity to interview and have you discuss some of those issues that seem to be important to to people who will be voting in the election on the Tuesday, first Tuesday of November. I hope you have a good day.
Well, thank you so much for this opportunity.
Okay.